Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been my shelter, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. So the first of this says, to the chief musician upon Niganah, a psalm of David. And I don't know, don't really anticipate we'll get through all of this, but I'd like to hopefully look at the first two or three verses, if the Lord would help us. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So I believe that David is in a place, and by what we read in verse number 2, you know, this might sound a little strange, but I'm not saying that everybody believed. Job believed that the world was round. Maybe not everybody believed that. But I believe for us to get a picture, David says from the end of the earth. You know, it was like David was at the edge. David was at the place to fall off. David was at a place that he felt like he was going to go over the edge. And, you know, I'm not saying that literally. I'm saying that it seemed like in his world, that in his world he was at the edge or at the very end and not able to know how to do or what to do. But David says, hear my cry, O God. And you know, I believe that God brings me, that God brings you, that God brings people to a place that they cry out. And by what we're reading here, he brings us to a place that we're at the edge. I believe you could say this, that David is saying through this psalm, I'm at a place I've never been before. I'm in a circumstance that I've never been before. I'm out on the very edge, and it feels as though I'm going to fall over, and I don't know what will be the end if I go over. But it's brought him to a place that he cries unto God. And two or three verses just to sort of think along that line. The Bible said in the book of Jonah, the Bible says, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. You know, God brought Jonah to a place that he would cry, didn't he? He brought him to a place. And I believe Jonah, I mean, he's going to say, out of the belly of hell I cried. Jonah has been 3 days in the whale's belly. But you know, he said, I'm going to remember the Lord. I'm going to remember God. I'm going to remember, and my prayer is going to come into his tabernacle. Jonah has not forgot where his help is coming from. I believe he said he says right here, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. He says, I believe it's in the 121st Psalm, lead me to the hill from which cometh my help. Well, If I look and I think about Abraham and Isaac, and I think about the Lord Jesus, you know what hill that was? That was Calvary. That was Mount Moriah. That was where the Lord Jesus was crucified. That was in the mount. Abraham called it Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord we shall see. What's David seeing? I believe David is seeing himself in a place that it feels like he's to the very edge of his ability. He's to the very edge. And friend, to even unto the end of the world, I'm going to cry to you, Lord. I've never been to this place that I'm in. I've never been to this place of turmoil. I've never been to this place of anguish. I've never been to this place that I feel so helpless, out of this place that I feel so uncertain. But God, I'm going to cry to you. Read with me if you want to turn. You don't have to turn, but look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter number 14, verse 26. Matthew 14, verse 26, this is what the Bible said. They're out on the sea, and you know they're there because God sent them there. They're there because the Lord said, go ye to the other side. They're there in, I believe, in absolutely perfect submission. I'm not saying that they're sinless. I'm saying in perfect submission to what God told them to do. And they're out there in the middle of the night, and in the fourth watch of the night, the Lord Jesus is coming. And when the disciples saw him walking upon the sea, they were troubled in saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. David's in that same place. David has come to the edge of the earth. David has come to the ends of the earth. David has come to a place that he's fearful. But you know, the disciples are in a place of great fear. What are they going to do? They're going to cry out. The Lord is going to say, and I believe this is important. Maybe you don't think it's important, but listen to what the Bible says. Verse number 27 says, but straightway. That means immediately. I don't know how you are, but when I get in one of these places, you know what the Lord says? Immediately there's something rolls over in my heart and I know where to go. I know who to cry to. I know who has kept me. I know who has strengthened me. I know that he's been my shelter. I know that I've been hid under his wings. I know that he's been there before. I know there's no temptation taken, man, but such as common. I know that the Lord has been tried in everything that I'll ever go through and been victorious. I know immediately. That ain't the last time he says that. Lord, if that be you, bid me to come on the water. Verse 28. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. We could stop right there, couldn't we? Anybody else done this? Nobody else. I tell you what God did for 2 million. He stacked the water up. I read it in Psalms. He put it on a heap. You ever seen anybody heap water up? I've never seen anybody that could heap water up. But the Lord did. But Peter is walking on the water. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He did what? He cried out, Lord, save me. And the next word, and immediately. Thank God. Thank God for the immediacy of the Word of God that comes to our heart. A Word of God that comes to us that you and I, when we come to the end of the earth, David said, I cried. David said in 62nd Psalm, I cried. And where is he? He says, and hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lord, when I don't know what to do. Lord, when I don't know where to go. If God would answer a David, I'd like to just remind you of this. When God answered Jonah,
When God called to Jonah, when God brought a fish and a purpose to bring Jonah to a place that he would cry unto God, Jonah was in absolute and total disobedience. When the disciples were on the ship, they were in total obedience. But both of those situations caused them to cry out unto God. So what about our situation? Whatever our situation, I believe that it calls for us to cry out unto God. Which God? This God, verse number 3, this God that has been. This God that has been a shelter. This God that has been a strong tower. This God that he said, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing. Has David had an experience with God before? Have you? I'll say this. If you're saved today, you know where you are. You're under the covert as his word from now and forever. And you have been protected by him. You've been sheltered by him. You have been there and he's been there for you. And he's protected you over and over again. And the situation that you're in today does not change the God of the Bible. He's still the same. Lord, I cried, oh God, attend unto my prayer. Lord, what's his prayer? Verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. I believe verse number 8. The only prayer that I can see is verse 2. You know what everything else is? It's saying, God, I know this. I know this, Lord. I know that you've been there. I know you've been my shelter. I know you've covered me. I know that you're going to preserve me. I know I'm going to abide with you. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. God, when I'm overwhelmed, God, when I, and that word, I believe very important, from the end of the earth, Lord, from the edge, God, from the place that I've never ever been before, God, would you lead me from there? Would you lead me? God, would you direct me? Lord, would you bring me? Would you carry me along, dear Lord, that I could come to the rock that is higher than I? Lord, I'm out on the edge and it feels as though I may fall off and be destroyed. But I know this, you've been there. I know that you protected me. I know that you're my God. I know that I'm your son. I know that you're going to preserve me. God, would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I am? Lord, I'm out on the edge. I'm out on the edge. And he said, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. What's the picture here? The word means to cover over. That's what the word really means. When my heart is covered over. You know, covered over with what? Well, I believe you could look at it like this. Friend, if David, there was Peter, what was Peter about to be covered over with? Peter was about to be covered over with the waves and the boisterous sea, wasn't he? Peter was about to be drowned, wasn't he? So I believe you could say, if we was looking at it from Peter's perspective, I believe that he was saying, Lord, save me. I'm about to go down. I'm about to be covered with water. Lord, I'm about to go under and I'm about to drown. Lord, I'm at the edge. I'm at the end of the world. It looks like I'm coming to an end right here. Lord, would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I am? Lord, would you allow me to get my feet on something a little higher that I could get my head above the water? It means to cover over. But not just with water. But you know, we can be covered over. We can be covered over and distraught. We can be covered over in our own hearts. We can be covered over and it looks impossible. We can be covered over with doubt. We can be covered over with a cloud. We can be covered over with doom. We can be covered over with darkness. A friend, over our heart, over our thoughts. A friend, it could be that we doubt. I believe John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." But there came a day when John was in prison and he said, "Go ask him. Are you the one? Or do we look for another?" John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You think John in prison had come to a place that he felt like he was at the end of the world? What was he desiring? He was desiring a word from the Savior. He was desiring a word from God. He was desiring a word with this doom and this gloom and this darkness and this great cloud and death looming over him. A friend, and it looked like the billows were going to roll over him and he was going to drown in his sorrow and his hopelessness and his doubt. A friend, Jesus sent him a word. Where is the rock that is higher than I? Covered. Lord, I believe you could say it like this. That sometimes it feels like there's hands around your neck smothering the life out of you. Lord, when I'm feeling covered over and I feel like I'm smothering to death, you know, you could be under the floor. You could be in an elevator. You could be in a culvert. And literally not smothering to death, but it feels like it, doesn't it? You know what you'd like to do? Oh, you'd like to get out of there and you'd like to get up to where you could get a breath of fresh air, wouldn't you? You'd like to get out of that place that you feel like you're smothering in your situation, and God would lead you to a place, a friend, where you could get up. I say this, it might be, a friend, in August or late August, we might be down here by the creek and there might not be a breeze whatsoever and feels like the air is this stagnant. You know what? If we could get up on the top of the steeple of the church, I tell you what, I believe there'd be a great opportunity there. We could feel a breeze blowing through and we could not feel smothered, but we could feel like there's some fresh air coming into me. I believe that's what David's looking for. I believe that's what David is desiring. Lord, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me, carry me up, direct me. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says this. Psalm 32, verse number 8. The Lord said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." You know something? A friend, if you're going to get, I believe a lot of times, if you're going to get a dog to come, you're going to get a cow to come, you're going to get a horse to come, you better have a lead on it. You better have a halter on it. You better have a rope on it. Because its desire, many, many be the time, is to go away. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, "I'll be your eyes. I'll direct you. I'll guide you." I don't be like the horse or the mule that's got to have a bit and a bridle on it to bring it near. Oh, I tell you, God's bringing the circumstance. And God is also saying, not only are you feeling like you're at the end of the earth, I'm going to give you a word. I'm going to give you an encouragement. I'm going to bring to your memory that I've been there before. I'm going to bring to your memory that I'm the cover of your wing, that you have hid under me. I'm going to bring to your mind that I've kept you from the enemy. I'm going to bring that to you. Know today where to go to.
He's directing us with His Word.
David is praying, God, lead me, direct me. I believe he's even saying this. Lord, pull on me. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, O God, with Your mercy. Lead me with Your Word. Lead me, O God, with Your tender mercies. Lead me, O God, with a tug of Your Holy Spirit. And God, would you revive a word? God, would You bring a word to my mind? God, would You bring an encouragement unto me? Would You bring a word, O God, that I could wrap my arms around and follow You out of this place that I feel like I'm at the end of the earth? I will cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock. I tell you, if you're sinking, you want something solid under you, don't you? David is feeling like his world is collapsing. David is feeling like he's on the very edge, and friend, and maybe ready to drop off into the abyss. Drop off. I don't mean that literally, and I don't mean he's dying and going to hell, but I mean he's dropping off a place that the mind can comprehend, and the mind is able to reason it out. And you know what? You look, and with the mind, and friend, with the natural abilities, I tell you what you see. You don't see any hope. But Lord, You lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lord, give me another view. What do you call that rock right up there? Over this way, over the... Not right one. The one between here and Big Pine, going out the ridge, going out the trail.
Edge and rock.
So I don't know if everybody knows where that's at, but you can just about look up here. Come from Troublesome, go out the ridge, and you go out, and the trail actually is below, and you can come off of the trail and climb up on this rock. You talk about a view. I tell you, it's a different view. Thank God, David is saying, Lord, put my feet, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and give me a different view than what I'm seeing right here. I tell you, God can lead us to a place that we've got a different view. God can lead us to a place we've got a different outlook on things. God can lead us to a place. I tell you, we may be in a laurel thicket spiritually. We may be in a laurel thicket and think, God, I can't see my hand in front of my face. I tell you, God can lead us to a rock that is higher than I, and we can see, a friend, how it really looks. I tell you something. I don't know how many of you been to Roan Mountain, but now you talk about a laurel thicket. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But if you've been hung out all night in Dove Ranch, and all you can see is a laurel thicket, it don't look too pretty, does it? But oh, I tell you, if the light will come up in the morning, a friend, and God can lead us to a place that's higher than I. You know, the Lord can lead us to a place that's higher than we are. My view ain't too good. But if He would lead me to a place that I could get my feet up on the rock, a friend, and get a different view, it may look a whole lot different from His view. David is praying, God, lead me to that rock. God, in my turmoil, in all of this that's covered me over, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Higher than I am. A rock that is above me. A rock that is exalted. I'd like to just think about that, you know, about that rock for a few minutes. So, I'm thinking about a rock that was in the wilderness. I'm thinking about a rock that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and they did all drink, and they did all eat, that did all drink of that same spiritual drink, For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, what's he talking about? Paul is writing to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, writing this first letter. You know what he's looking back to? He's looking back to the children of Israel over there in the wilderness. A friend, about 40 days, 45 to 50 days into their journey from Egypt, they come to a place called Rephidim. They come to a place, a friend, a place that should be a place of rest. There was no water there. There was no water at Rephidim. And they spake of stoning Moses. You know what he did? He cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a rock. And he said, Moses, take that rod and go over there to that rock and smite the rock. Smite the rock, Moses. And friend, when Moses smote the rock, it's in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Here is a rock, friend. You talk about a rock. Listen to what the Bible says. Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did. Moses did so in the sight of the elders. Isn't that wonderful? And they called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So now let's think on that for just a moment. They said, well, I don't know if the Lord's with us. I don't know if the Lord's leading Moses. I believe we've just made a terrible mistake by leaving Egypt. Really? Have you forgot about the 10 plagues? Have you forgot about the crossing of the Red Sea? Have you forgot about God providing and God heaping up water? They forgot about that. I tell you, it's so easy, our friend, when we come to a place that ought to be a place of rest. Rephidim means a place of rest. Well, there's no water there, preacher. We can't rest. Well, if we can't rest, maybe we ought to cry. If we can't rest, maybe we ought to cry out to the Lord. If we can't rest there and there's no water there, I'll tell you, God meant for Rephidim to be a place of rest, and He made it so. He brought water out of the rock, and they were able to rest there. How did He do it? He smote the rock with the rod. So we got a rock that's been smitten for me, for you. A rock that has been smitten. Listen just a little bit. Isaiah chapter 53. Very familiar. But listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, He is despised and rejected, verse 3, of men. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we did hide our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our sorrows, our griefs, and carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Can you see the rock? Paul said Christ was that rock. Can you see the rock? Look with me. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and we did esteem Him. We did think. We thought, we valued, that's what the word means in verse number 3, we esteemed Him, we valued Him as nothing. And when we looked on Him, we valued Him as He was smitten of God. You see the next word in the next verse. Isn't that good? Isn't it wonderful in Ephesians chapter number 2, the first 3 verses looks like absolutely no hope at all. And verse number 4, the Bible says, but God. Our friend man may look and they say, well, I want you to look at this Christ. He is smitten of God. No, ma'am, and no, sir, we may have thought that, but the Bible says, but. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. I'll tell you, thank God for the smitten rock. Thank God for a rock that is higher than I. A rock, ladies and gentlemen, that was in the wilderness. And a rock that is in the wilderness today. A rock that you and I can be led to. Isn't it amazing that they make a compass and you can roll it across the floor and when it stops, the needle points north. We can throw it around a room and when it stops, the needle will point north. God help us. It doesn't matter the situation. I don't care how many times it's rolled over, turned upside down. Our friend fell on the ground. Our friend, your needle, your compass has not been damaged. Thank God it'll point unto the Lord Jesus every time. I don't care what your situation is. It doesn't matter if you're at Meribah, if you're at Rephidim, if you're at Massa, our friend, if you're at Kadesh, it doesn't matter what your situation. I thank God it'll lead me to the Lord every time. That's what he's doing. David? David's praying. David's crying. Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the rock. So, we've got a smitten rock. Isaiah chapter 53, we've got a rock that is smitten. And listen, he wasn't smitten of God for his sin. He wasn't smitten of God or by God for his sin. He was smitten because of my sin and your sin. And friend, out of him, thank God, out of him came water. Out of him. Our friend, notice this. Notice that, our friend, when you look at him in the New Testament, when you look at him there at the cross, you know what we see? We see a man, and we did esteem him smitten of God. There they were, hanging around the cross, our friend, on Mount Calvary, and they said, surely this man, look at him. He's hanging between two thieves. He's just like they are. No, ma'am, and no, sir, I tell you, he's higher. He's higher than they are. He's raised above them. This may be a smitten rock, but he's smitten because of me. He's smitten because of you. And it may look like God has smote him, but he was there for my sin and your sin. And when you look at him at Calvary, you know what we see there? I tell you, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there, we see in Isaiah 53, we see a rock that is broken. We see a rock that is bruised. But I tell you, that's not the end. You look a little farther. And when you look a little farther in Isaiah chapter 53, you'll see a rock, and you'll see a rock that pleased God. You'll see a smitten rock that God was satisfied with. You'll see a smitten rock that out of that rock I came some seed. Out of that rock I came a church. Out of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, there came forth blood and water. Out of his side, out of the smitten rock, came water for you and I, out of a sanctified and blood to cover our sin. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That ain't the end of it. Preacher, he looked smitten of God to me. God was pleased to bruise him. God was pleased with the offering. God saw his seed and was satisfied for my sin. But
But this is a high rock. This is a rock that has been raised. On Sunday morning, that rock that was smitten, that rock that looked like it was dead, that rock that looked like, well, that blood and that water that came out, that's the end of him. No, ma'am and no, sir. I'll tell you that on Sunday morning, God raised the rock up. Our friend, he may have been on the same plane as mankind for 33 and a third year, but I want you to know this on Sunday morning. God made a high rock out of him for you and I to be able to look at and see. Thank God for a rock that is higher than I. He died for me, like me. But without sin, God exalted him. He is a high rock. He is a rock that God has exalted. He is the rock of ages that you sung about this morning. Oh, thou blessed rock of ages. What? Hide thou me. Let's look in Numbers. Numbers. Chapter 20. So I read to you where Moses smote the rock in Exodus. You can do a little research. And Numbers chapter 20 is 38 to 40 years after Exodus 17. They're at Kadesh Barnea, and they've been around it over and over and over and over again. And here they are, and they're without water. No water for the congregation, verse 2. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought this congregation in the wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Has God changed? In 38 years, has God changed? Let me just say this to you. In 38 years, neither has man. Man is still a doubter. Man is still a blamer. Man is still a friend without faith unless God does it. Man is still in a place that he has to cry unto God. Here they are at Kadesh Barnea, 40, I believe this right here, I believe this would say it, in the first month, that is the first month of the 40th year. The first month of the 40th year, they've been 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, and God, here they are without any water. Is this God able to provide as he provided over at Rephidim? Is he able to provide at Kadesh Barnea? Amen. He's the same God. My circumstance does not change God. My doubt and my gloom and friend to be covered over and my heart is overwhelmed. My heart is under a dark cloud. Doesn't change God. You know what that does? That just gives God an opportunity to be glorified. It's the truth. That's the truth. So listen. This is what the Lord says. The Lord said in verse number 7 and 8. The Lord spoke unto Moses saying, take the rod. Now where's the rod? Verse 9 will tell us where the rod was. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Where's the rod? Back there in the presence. Back there behind the veil. Take the rod. Take that rod. Verse 8. Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together. Gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. His water? That's what it says. give forth his water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. So in the beginning, he smote the rock. The law, ladies and gentlemen, smote the rock of ages. The law opened up by my sin and your sin, and let's just get this in the right order. When Jesus died on the cross, you know what was open? Our friend, the veil of the temple was open when he died. When he gave up the ghost, the veil of the temple was open. Praise God, the rock was smote, and the access to God was made open for us. But on over in the evening, he's dead. The Roman soldier took a spear and he rammed it up under his ribs, and he opened up the blessed Lamb of God. He opened up the Lord Jesus Christ, and there came forth blood and water. Blood for the covering of our sins, washing for our sanctification. But listen, he told Moses, now Moses, you smote the rock 40 years ago. Now I want you to go out, take the rod with you. But Moses, you keep the rod in your hand. You keep the rod right there in your hand. I know it don't say that particularly. But God rebuked him for smiting the rock. He said, I want you to speak to the rock. Do you see that we have access to God today? Do you see today that we don't go and smite the rock again? The rock. The rock at Rephidim is the same representation of the rock at Kadesh Barnea. And that rock was Christ. It may have been a natural distance from Kadesh Barnea to Rephidim, and it may be in a different rock in one sense, but by Paul's writing, it was symbolic of the same one person, that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses smote the rock, a friend over at Rephidim. And I tell you today, you know where my peace is? My peace is coming out of that rock. And friend, here I am today without any water. Here I am today, I've covered over and my heart is overwhelmed. You know what he says? He says, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. I tell you what I've got. I got a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. I've got a high priest who has been smitten. I've got a high priest whose side has been opened. I've got a rock. Praise God, I've got a rock. And you know where I am? I am hid in the cleft of the rock. A friend, and you know what he says to me? Cry unto me, and I will open the rock and give you what you stand in need of. You don't have to smite the rock. The rock has already been smitten. But he bids Moses to speak to the rock. Right? Gather this group together. Take the rod. Listen, folks. The law has not changed. But my means of coming to God has changed. I can speak today. Before, we were going through a bunch of ceremonies and a bunch of works to try maybe that the presence of God would come down in the Shekinah glory. Maybe the glory of God would fill up the tabernacle or the temple. But I'll tell you what you can do today, our friend, because of the smitten rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're genuinely saved, He lives in your heart. And you know what we can do today? We can speak to Him. You don't have to smite the rock again. The rock has already been opened. Hebrews chapter 4, I believe. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now Aaron was the high priest in that day. Who's our high priest? They had a rock they was getting water out of over at Meribah and over at Rephidim and Kadesh. Who's our rock? Where's our rest? Rephidim was a place of rest. Where's our rest? Praise God, there is a rest for the people of God, and there is a Sabbath for the people of God, and He is my rest, and He is my Sabbath, and I can speak to Him. I don't have to do like the prophets of Baal. I don't have to scream and holler and cut myself with a knife and let blood gush out of me to get God's attention. What I have to do is see a need and know that I'm at the end of the earth and cry unto Him, and He will hear. If we could get to the end of our way, we could get some help. But as long as you think you can do it and you can handle it, forget about Him answering. I don't say that to be ugly. I say if He don't get the glory, He's not going to do it. You know what Moses did? And I'm not knocking him. I'm not knocking him at all. Bible said they provoked him to anger. Moses said, "Shall we get water for you out of this rock, you bunch of rebels?" That's not an exact quote, but it's pretty close. He smote the rock twice. God gave the water. They got the glory. God said, "Because you're taking my glory, you're not going into Canaan's land, neither one of you." You know what the Lord wants? He wants the glory. And listen, you don't have to cut your wrist. You don't have to chop your hand off. You don't have to scream from morning till afternoon sacrifice. No, I tell you what, you can cry out of your heart and realize that you are at the end of your way, that out from the ends of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, when I'm covered with doom and gloom, when I'm covered and billows are rolling over me, I lead me, O God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, is in the exalted rock. Is He a high rock? That is passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, listen to these words, folks. Let us therefore come boldly. Do you think that David is coming humbly and coming boldly at the same time? Yeah. He is. He's coming humbly, but He's also coming boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of what? Judgment? Thank God, grace. The undeserved. Let me come boldly to the throne of mercy, of grace, that we may obtain mercy, that we may find compassion and find grace to help in the time of... Is David in a place of need? Oh, he's at the end of the road. He's at the end of the earth. And he's saying, "Oh God, God, would you lead me, oh God? Would you lead me to the rock that is higher than I?" Is there a place, Lord, that I can set my feet down and get a different view than what I've got today? Is there a place, oh God, can I speak? And God, would you water me with the water of your word? God, would you give me a word out of the rock? I don't know whether you think about it like this. Here's the rock. In here. Lord, lead me to the rock. Lead me to the place, oh God, that I can have a different view than what I've got today. Lead me to the rock of ages. Lead me to my Christ. Lead me to my high priest. Lead me to the one that was open for me.
Lead me, O God. Lead me to that place that is higher than I. Lead me, Lord. Lead me to that place. So as we think about this, you know, we can speak to the rock today. He has been opened. And if you have come to the end of your road, I tell you, come to the rock that is higher than I. You can be refreshed. You can get a fresh breath of air. You can get your head above the water. You can get a different view. You cannot feel like that I'm sinking. I keep working. I try to keep my head above water. And I keep going down. I tell you, He can put something under you that you can stand on. Any need, any